Also from Washington, President Bush did what he promised and vetoed a war spending bill last night. It would have withdrawn U.S. troops within the year. Now, this was his only second veto in 6 years. The first came last summer on a bill to fund stem cell research. For more, let's turn to our new weekly political segment with Donna Brazile. In 2000, she ran Democratic presidential candidate Al Gore's campaign, and she now runs her own political consulting firm in Washington. She is at NPR's D.C. headquarters. Also right here with me at NPR West, Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying firm D.C. Navigators. He's also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush, and I'm so glad to have you guys both on.
Nice
Thank
to be
you.
With you.
Yeah, so this is great. So, Donna, let me start with you. This bill is a little complicated. It's got spending provisions. It's got drawdown provisions. It's been vetoed, but can you explain what was in it?
Well, in addition to providing the president every penny that he requested for the wars in both Iraq and Afghanistan, the Democrats added additional spending. First, for veteran health care, the Democrats believe it's important that we take care of our veterans once they return from war. Democrats also added money for equipment and training because Democrats believe that we cannot send our brave soldiers off to war without the proper equipment and training. And then there's another $15 to $22 billion to take care of national emergencies here at home, including providing resources for Hurricane Katrina. The president made a commitment on September 15, 2005, to ensure that those levees would be rebuilt and people could go back home. The bill would remove the 10% waiver requirement so that Louisianians and Mississippians can get on with their lives and the local government will not have to pay 10% of any federal funds to match what the federal government has given them. So there's additional money for other emergencies that we had in this country, including the agricultural crisis that we had out in the West. So this supplemental bill gave the president exactly what he requested, but the Democrats gave specific timetables as well as benchmarks that the Iraqi government must meet in order to ensure that they will be held accountable. We're spending $8 billion a month in Iraq, and Democrats believe that it's time for the Iraqi government to not just step up, but to meet those benchmarks because we cannot win this war militarily without having political solutions approved and implemented by the Iraqi government.
All right. Now, Ron, that's a lot of stuff to put in one bill. There was no secret that the president was ready to veto it even before it was passed. And also, Tuesday marked the anniversary of the president declaring mission accomplished in Iraq. He was, you know, standing on the Abraham Lincoln, the aircraft carrier. Now, White House officials say, according to the LA Times, that mission accomplished was just about the mission of that one craft, which seems interesting because that's never been brought up before. Was this a moment at which the president was brought to his knees on symbolic terms, even though he won the day in terms of the veto?
Well, I don't think the president was brought to his knees on symbolic terms. I want to go back just for a quick second before I address your specific question of what was really in this bill. There were not just provisions in there dealing with Hurricane Katrina, and there were not just provisions in there dealing with veterans' health care. There were also provisions in there that micromanaged the ability of our commanders on the ground in Afghanistan to wage and win this war. By setting an artificial timetable, by setting artificial benchmarks, if you will, by which the United States military should or shouldn't do certain things, only gives a lesson and only gives a message to our enemies on the ground that the United States has no will, the United States has no resolve, and the United States will withdraw before the job is done. And that's why the president vetoed this bill. But symbolically, I was a special assistant to the President of the United States, as you mentioned, and I sat in the senior staff meeting that morning when the President landed on the Abraham Lincoln, and I was there the next morning when they specifically talked about the mission accomplished banner. And they specifically said, and I was in the room, that it related to the USS Abraham Lincoln accomplishing its mission and coming home.
But they didn't, that was not a message that made it to the American people. I don't remember that, hearing that on any TV shows.
And I'm the first person to tell you that the way that the message came out of the White House, I think, could have been done a lot differently, and it could have been done much better, because it gives Democrats and it gives those who are critical of the administration a perfect target, a bullseye, if you will, to say, look at these guys. They said mission accomplished. The mission isn't accomplished.
Well, so, let me also,
go ahead.
Ron mentioned the benchmarks. President Bush in January outlined these benchmarks. The prime minister of Iraq, Mr. Maliki, endorsed these benchmarks. The problem is that they're dragging their feet. This is not tying the hands of generals. This is basically telling the Iraqi government that the $8 billion that we're giving you every month will not be given to you in the future unless you meet certain political goals that you said you must meet in order to reconcile the differences in the country. So there's no reason to suspect that the Democrats will send the president a watered-down bill or a bill without benchmarks. Even the Republican, Ray LaHood, one of the leaders from Illinois, recently said that he is prepared now to put those benchmarks. And other Republicans are saying, look, if we don't meet some benchmark, when are we going to get out? So I suspect the Republicans will cave and support the Democrats at some point.
So, Donna, I want to move on to another topic. But before that, Ron, very briefly, is there room for compromise here?
Absolutely. The president of the United States is going to be sitting down with the leaders from the House and the Senate. The president said this morning that he wants to work together with the individuals in the Congress. There's a difference, though, between what Donna is saying and what the president wants. A non-binding resolution, a non-binding benchmark, I think everybody's for that, and many Republicans support it. But artificially restricting our troops, we can't have that, and the president will veto that.
All right. Republican Party debate this Thursday, Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, Simi Valley, California. For a lot of black folks, of course, Simi Valley is the venue for the infamous Rodney King trial. But let's move along from that. So what's at stake here? I'm going to start with Ron. I mean, you know, John McCain has been making a lot of headlines. He had that fractious moment with John Stewart. He's really a defender of the war policy. Ron first, then Donna. What's at stake for the Republicans?
I think the Republicans have a lot more at stake in this debate for Rye than the Democrats. The Republicans now, you have a Republican incumbent president of the United States who doesn't have a vice president who's coming along to succeed him. You have a lot of individuals who want to be president of the United States who perhaps aren't as well known to the American people. This is their opportunity. I'm thinking particularly of Governor Mitt Romney, former Governor Mitt Romney of Massachusetts. This is his opportunity, along with Rudy Giuliani, to show a different side of themselves to the American people, to show their vision, their leadership, and how they would change the country. So I think that the top-tier candidates, Giuliani, Romney, and McCain, have as much to gain as they do to lose. They don't need to have any major gaffes. But it also presents some of the lesser-known candidates, former governor, of course, Mike Huckabee. You're looking at current Senator Sam Brownback. These individuals need to do something to break away from the pack, so I think that they would look at this as an opportunity to shine, perhaps at the expense of the top-tier candidates.
Donna?
Well, first of all, I agree with Ron. This is an opportunity for the Republicans who are behind in all of the national polls, especially the generic polls that ask the question, would you prefer a Republican or Democrat in 2008? Democrats lead by 10 points. But this is an opportunity for them to invoke Ronald Reagan's name, to claim his legacy. And after 6 years of rising budget deficits and rising income inequality, this is an opportunity to basically say, we are Ronald Reagan Republicans, to invoke the 40th president of the United States, because his qualities, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, many people agree that he showed strong leadership. He was confident. He was optimistic. He projected strength. And I think many of these candidates will put forward their ideas to say, look, like Ronald Reagan, we're going to exemplify these so-called conservative credentials. You know, some of the Republican candidates are struggling to essentially shed their quote-unquote liberal past. And I'm referring to Rudy Giuliani, who, of course, agreed with me on most of the issues before he started running. And today he probably agrees more with Ron on the issues. Of course, Mitt Romney, the former governor of Massachusetts. Again, this is a guy who has a terrific health care plan, but will not talk about it because he doesn't want anybody to know that he's from the blue state.
Donna, I'm going to stop you because we're just about out of time. But very quickly, if you can, super quick, who would Ronald Reagan vote for if he were still alive?
I think Ronald Reagan would ask Fred Thompson to run and to see if he can reshape his image.
All right, Ron.
I think Ronald Reagan would look at former Governor Mitt Romney and say, this is a man who has my vision with lower taxes, a strong national defense, and a strong positive vision for the future.
All right. On that note, this has been great fun. Donna, Ron, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Donna Brazile is former campaign manager for Democratic presidential nominee Al Gore's 2000 run. She now heads her own political consulting firm in Washington. And Ron Christie is vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators and former special assistant to President George W. Bush.